button here turned on.
How's that? Good. Thank you very much. You let you leave town for one morning, and then I forget everything I've been taught. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord. It's good to see hear all the good singing that we've had. And the family, let me tell you right now, is that by the grace of God, we are what we are. I was sitting there thinking about 6 years and 3 days ago was the most God-awful time of our lives. But God's been good in spite of that. And we appreciate how good God's been and how much you've undergirded us by prayer and thanksgiving. And let me tell you right now is we're looking forward one of these days to the coming of the Lord. Matthew 7, if you're able to stand, look in verse number 1. Here we go. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed together as a congregation, the good special music. There may be some man, a woman, boy, or girl that's been on the verge of stepping out, coming to Christ. May this be their day and their time, their hour. Lord, we thank you for salvation, that it's free, that it's for everyone that'll receive it, and for everlasting to those that do. Now bless, I pray, this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. In this passage that we just got through reading, "Judge not that you be not judged," all the religious-minded lost world knows about that passage. Every time they get into conviction, the preacher says something, you know, they don't really like. You're judging me. Every time somebody points out, hey, listen, you ought not to be doing that or saying that or being involved in that. You're judging. They always say that. Now, they don't know where it's at in the Bible, and they couldn't tell you exactly why that it's there and can't tell you anything about the connection of it and with it. They just want you to hush and get off of them for a while. I was sitting there. I didn't, you know, ask him how you become the favorite in his family. You don't. You don't become the favorite in that family. So I thought, well, I don't want to rob Nathan and all that business there. I said, how'd you become the favorite in your family? Just declared it? I didn't even let him answer. I just went ahead and guessed at it. He didn't say nothing wrong about it. And so it's good to be saved and to know the Lord. And if you don't like yourself, nobody else will. I said when we get look in this little lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that the world, religious world, would have you to believe there's no such thing as judging. You try to witness somebody about Christ, and they think you're judging them. You try to say something about what's right and what's wrong, they think you're judging. You try to show them in the Bible, here's what God says, oh, they're not having that. Don't be intimidated when somebody says you're judging. That's exactly what I'm doing. That's exactly what God said we ought to be doing. Yes, sir. That Bible said that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yes. There's not anything you can come up against. If you're a child of God, walking with God, spiritual in the sight of God, everything that you face in life, you've got a judgment to pass upon it by the word of the Lord. Yes. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, there is a permitted judgment, if you will. Did you notice in the chapter that we were looking at, he said in verse number 3, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye?" Now there's a self-judgment. And then he said, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? And then he said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly how to get the mote out of thy brother's eye." And then he noticed, if you will, here fiction have to pass the judgment. "Give not that which is holy unto dogs." Right after he got through telling you, "Judge not, lest you be judged," he said, "but don't give holy stuff unto dogs." That's religious, but lost people without God. And he said, "Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn again to rend you." I got to tell you, isn't that amazing how that whenever God said, not about judging, that he automatically tells you, now you're going to have to make a judgment here. You're going to have to determine if who you're talking to and who's listening to you is a dog or a hog. I don't know if you I don't know if you've ever wrestled. Some of you, especially you younger ones here, you've not yet wrestled any hogs, and some of you girls, you know, you've not yet wrestled a hog, but some of you know what it's like. Try to hold a dog down, pull a tick out of its ear, off of its eye, and all that right there, and how they're fighting and trying to bite you and this and that. But a hog, we got a picture, Brother David had took it, a little video years ago when old Brother Nathan here, I don't know what, he might have been about the size of Logan, and he had a pen full of hogs, and I've still got that. I just ran across it the other day, and you can hear Brother David saying, grab him, Nate, grab him by the eyelids, and he did, and of course, there was lots of pig squealing going on. I got Jack Thrift years ago. We had one, I forget where we were transporting the movie, going to kill it or what it was going to be and all this and that. And I can't even remember if it was in Texas or Louisiana where we were. But you talk about it was a kind of a hefty pig. And that dude would scream loud enough for you to bust your eardrums. Man, you can tell Brother Jack had never had to wrestle a hog before. Out of all years of pastoring that he did, I said, you have never seen that look or heard that scream about people trying to get loose from it? I said all that just so you'd know that that's why he used that. He used a dog, used a hog. A religious dog, a religious hog will fight and try to scramble and turn again to rend you. That's what they'll do. In the lesson, you'd think that they're not going to do that with the word of the Lord. Sure they will. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that in this text is that in chapter number 7 and verse number 15, he talks about discerning false prophets. Beloved, believe not every prophet that comes into the world. And let me tell you, even though they're in sheep's clothing, so you've got to make a judgment concerning them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11, the Bible said we're to reprove the works of darkness. All right, you're going to have to decide what is light and what is darkness in accordance to the word of the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, withdraw from a disorderly brother. You got to judge their conduct and their action. In Romans 16, the Bible said, verse 17 through 18, that those that cause divisions contrary to the word and avoid them, mark them and avoid them. You're going to have to make a judgment with them. And then in 1 John chapter 3 and about verse number 10, the children of God and the children of the devil, they're both of them made manifest. You know how it is? Judging them according to the word of the Lord. Now in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that we could never judge by what's called appearance saying. I believe it's St. John chapter 7 about verse number 24 when he said, judge not according to appearance. Don't ever be caught up, well, I said this or that about a person, because it looked like and it appeared to be, that's just an empty excuse. God said, judge not by the way it looks, but judge righteous judgment. See? Sometimes, you know, I've had people in many years gone by and I'd say this or that, and they'd say, well, do you know that to be a fact? I said, no, not really. I just don't like them. You're sitting there petrified like you've never done that before in your life. Well, shame on me then. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that it's just wrong to guess at and then justify by what you thought or the way you saw it, the way it appeared. God said, don't judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, there's a thing over there in the book of Matthew here in chapter number 7. Notice it about verse number 12. The Bible said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even do to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, you and I ought to be careful that we exercise that whatever our right, our God-given ability is to pass the right kind of judgment, do what's right and see what's wrong, and avoid that, and as a result, just bless the word of the Lord to each and every one of our own hearts. There's a passage over here in the book of John, St. John. I want you to turn to it if you can find it. I want to say that it's in chapter number 12, if I've got it right. Yes, it's in chapter 12, and it's about verse number 48. Now, in this lesson, the Bible says that we're talking about tonight, you're not to suffer sin upon your brother, Leviticus 19, verse 17 said, but you're to anywise rebuke them. And let me tell you, they're going to be screaming and yelling and all that business there. But while we esteem each other better than ourselves, and that's what love will do, the love of God, it'll promote the well-being of the object that we're talking about and cause us to dwell in harmony one with another. Over in the book of John, St. John chapter number 12 and about verse number 48, there's a passage there that we ought to be looking at. The Bible said in the passage, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In other words, when a person rejects the word of the Lord, that same word they've rejected is going to one of these days face them in the last days. And as a result of that, the same word they've rejected is going to judge them in that day. I want you to see that the Bible tells us over the book of 1 John chapter 2, don't turn there, but love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, so forth and on. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him, the Bible goes on to say in essence. Let me say to you that, if you will, that in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to turn to that one, in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, there's a passage that we ought to be looking at, and here's where it's at, in verse number 14, and we ought to consider what it says. Watch what he says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and that in all of it. The reason why he doesn't receive it, they're foolishness unto him. You know, the Bible said the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe it. You know what keeps a person that served the gospel lost without God? It's foolishness unto them. And the Bible said, and neither can they know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And he said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, it's not going to make any difference what a man may or may not think about you, as long as you are lined up with the word of the Lord and Jesus Christ is living on the inside of you in your heart and in your mind. This Bible teaches us is that you and I ought to recognize and realize is that there are people out there that no doubt that have to be marked. In fact, is over there in the book of Proverbs and about chapter number 6, Do you not know that he talks about the attire of a harlot? Next time somebody said, hey, that old gal there looks like a road whore. And you're thinking, oh, what an ugly thing. You're judging them. I didn't say they were. I just said they looked like they was. There must have been a Pentecostal convention in Lufkin or something this time of the year. And I was waiting on the wife. I pulled up to a place. It was called, was it Belk? I suppose, sitting there. I'd already noticed that everywhere we went, there was, in the restaurant over there, that there was a lot of them, Pentecostal women, and they all had their hair on nice, and they all of them were modestly dressed. And I mean, there was just a swarm of them, and I was thinking to myself, oh, yeah, well, there comes two Baptists there. And you could tell they was about to bust out of their britches. And all that business there. I thought, well, good. They're not just Pentecostals out. There's some butt-cheek exposed and Baptist women. And let me say to you that, if you will, that folks may or may not like that, but the word of the Lord's what's declaring it. And the same word that we've been preaching all these years will judge in the last day, no doubt about that. Now, I will tell you this, is that you ought not to be dressing like that, because to go to heaven, if you didn't dress like that, you couldn't go to heaven. That's not the reason, because you couldn't go to heaven. You can go to hell well-dressed. You see that? But let me just say to you that, if you will, that in this lesson that we're looking at, is that the Bible saying the natural man, he's spiritually discerned. He cannot know it. And there's some judgments that we have to make in the world that we're living in the day and hour. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will, that in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 11, I want to give you a passage there real quickly. We've just got a couple of more things we're going to look at. But in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 11, it's about verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and about verse 7. And the Bible said there, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith." You know the reason why that old Noah preached right and looked right and walked right and talked right and this right? You know why? Is because that he was preparing for the saving of his house. And because he looked different and was different than the rest of the world, his right living condemned the world that they didn't live right. And let me say to you, that's just a good Bible practice that we ought to recognize and realize. We ought to make spiritual melody in our heart toward God by the songs and the hymns that he's given us. Now, in closing tonight, I just want to say to you is that we ought to remember in John 12 and verse number 48, make no mistake about it, is that the very word that men reject will be the very word that will judge them in the last day. That's something in it. I got to say to you that in the day we live in, is that it's hard to just believe that God, there's a lot of things up and down the road of life that'll just shake your faith. I mean, you're thinking, boy, I hope that never happens to me. If you live long enough, there's some things in life that will shake your faith. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you, I guarantee you right now is that there's some people here that have sat where you're sitting. Make no mistake about it, God's grace has been sufficient. There's some people here that tonight, that if I had to go through what you've been through and are going through, you talk about shake and rattle me some, it would have. I've got enough already rattling me. I'm just glad to be able to say that God's grace is sufficient. And we're not home yet, children. I'm looking forward with great anticipation. You know, if I live very many more years, of course, I feel better about after coming to church this morning. And because as a result, Miss Faye told me, and said, "Well, when you get old," we were talking about something, "when you get old," I said, "when I get old, I thought I was already old." "Oh, no, you're not old yet." Well, thanks for clearing that up. I got to say to you that if you just want to remember to keep your eye upon the Lord, regardless of whatever comes your way, how dark that it is, how hurtful that it is, how it makes you want to scream and cry out, I got to tell you right now is that sometimes I needed 100 acres to practice 100 acre therapy in. That's where you get right out in the middle of a 100 acre patch where nobody else can hear you and scream whatever obscenity. It's not going to change things, and it's not going to make it any better, but it'll make you feel better. You'd be surprised how many people up and down the road lost a child, lost a close loved one, that I've told that to, and they said, "You know, I thought maybe you was a little bit nuts, but it did work." See? So before you get to the place, now, I'm not trying to endorse you getting out there and cussing like a sailor. Some of you do that. Some of you do. I know people that do that, and they ain't got nothing to be mad about, or they don't need no therapy. See what I'm talking about? I got to say to you that, if you will, that it's good to be saved, to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. And the next time somebody says, "Judge not, lest you be judged," don't let them intimidate you with that. Because God said you and I are to judge righteous judgment, and that'll be by the blessed word of the Lord. And it'll help somebody up and down the road of life along the way. I had a lady one time, she came to me. She said, "Well, I'm not sure I'm saved." I said, Why do you think you're not saved? She said, "Well, sometimes I throw a dish at my husband." Is that it? "Well, sometime I yell at him." Is that pretty much it? Well, yeah, not all the time, but I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I said, that's not a sign of being lost. It's a sign you're a mean woman. There's not a red-blooded American woman on the face of the earth that ain't going to lose her temper every now and again. And if you was married to that gal's husband, and he was my dear friend, but you'd want to throw a pot of pan every now and again to him yourself. See? Now, I hope you don't go home and go to doing that and say, well, you said it was all right. Now, I'll just give you an illustration that things like that, that tempestuous incident may come up towards you. Be like that old boy, what was his name? Probably wasn't even saved, but he was very talented. Old Bob Harrington, you know, claimed to be an evangelist. He was in a house and a home, and he was trying to win a man to the Lord by the request of the man's wife. And he could smell that he had beer on his breath, liquor on his breath. And he said, well, preacher, I got to tell you, you don't know what kind of wife I'm married to. He said, well, sir, it can't be that bad. And he said, give me, you want one of these to drink too? And no. He said, I'm not here for that. He said, I'm sure your wife, you know, has rubbed you the wrong direction, but it's not that bad. I'm telling you, it's not. And after going through that for a few minutes, directly his wife came in. And boy, after a few minutes talking to her and listening to her, he grabbed a glass up and told the old guy, pour me one. And don't go off and use that as an excuse either. I'm just trying to let you know that every now and then, we're going to run across somebody and we don't know exactly what they're going through and why they're going through it and how they're coping with it. And, you know, before we pass just an appearance judgment upon them, we might ought to see what we could do to help them along the way in life. And let me say to you that, if you will, that God's grace has been sufficient for you and I, and it will be sufficient for whoever you and I come up in contact with up and down the road of life. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word tonight. How good it is to be in the house of God. We pray that now you'd finish the message in every heart, save the lost without God, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.